I just want to share with you a few things from our series in the book of Acts. And this morning in particular, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's Halloween, or it was Halloween this last week. And that is, I don't know, depending on your view of Halloween, some of you think it's the greatest thing in the world. Others of you think it's the darkest thing in the world. I don't know what your particular persuasion is. I rather enjoy Halloween. I think it's fun to dress up, and I watch all the kids dress up, and I love candy. So what can go wrong with that? My daughter brought home this giant bag of candy, and I'm kind of sick, actually, this morning, probably because I had too much. But an interesting thing about Halloween is, my mom always used to say it's the devil's holiday when I grew up, and I wasn't allowed to go trick-or-treating. Sad face. But Halloween actually has its roots in Christian history. Halloween is it's kind of a syncretism between pagan holiday and a Christian idea of praying for your long-lost relatives and getting them out of purgatory and all those kinds of things. But it was called All Hallows' Eve, and it was the day that the Druids and the other pagan cultures believed that the spirit world was closest to our world. And so it was this day in which you could pray for the spirits of those who had died. And so literally it started from poor people going around from house to house and offering people, it's kind of trick-or-treat in reverse, offering people to pray for their relatives, and they would give them in response to that, you know, an apple or something sweet. So that was one of the traditions that began into what we see today. And of course, it's taken on all sorts of alternatives. But anyways, it's interesting because Halloween is traditionally seen as a spiritual time, and we, of course, dress up as ghouls and ghosts, and that seems to be the center of what we think about Halloween now. But it's a time in which spiritual things are thought about. It's a time in which we think about spirits, and we think, you know, and we eerily conjure up these ideas, you know, that they're our ghosts and ghouls, and I don't know what to think about all of that. But the interesting thing is, when people hear about the Holy Spirit, or as it's referred to in the King James Bible, the Holy Ghost, right? It just kind of brings these kind of weird thoughts and weird feelings. You know, it's hard to know, how do you relate with the Spirit of God? What does that even mean, the Spirit of God? And how are we supposed to have some sort of relationship with the Holy Spirit, with all these kind of weird vibes about spiritual things and all these weird ideas floating around in our world about spiritual things. And maybe you were unsure about all this stuff. And maybe when you hear about God and you hear about Jesus and you hear about this idea that there's a Holy Spirit that is moving and working in the world and lives inside of people who believe in Jesus Christ, maybe you're unsure of all that. Maybe that's confusing, scary, spooky, weird to you. And that's okay. That's okay. It's certainly understandable that you would feel that way. But one of the things that we find throughout the scriptures is that having a relationship with God is predicated upon your ability to connect with the Holy Spirit, to have a relationship. We have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And so that's a weird thing to understand, because I think a lot of people, even Christians, they don't really put that into words, or they don't really think about that in regards to their relationship with God. But there is the person of the Holy Spirit that enables us, is that conduit, you could say, by which we have a relationship with God. And so this passage that we're going to look at in Acts, I say all that to introduce this, is really interesting. Because the Apostle Paul goes to this city of Corinth, and there are people there who have belief in God, but they don't have a relationship with God in the way that Paul envisions that they could have through Jesus Christ, because Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And they don't have an understanding of that. They aren't walking in a knowledge of that. And clearly Paul believes, well, they're hindered by that. They haven't fully received a revelation of what all that God can do in relationship with us as human beings. And before, God was unknowable. Before, we couldn't see God. We couldn't relate with God. But now, because of Jesus, now because he has given us this gift of the Holy Spirit, there's this whole world that is opened up before us. And so I want you to see that in what Paul says to these believers in Corinth in this brief story as we read it, just a few verses in Acts chapter 19. So if you've got your Bibles, you can go there. Also, the words will be up here on the screen. And you'll remember from last week when we talked about this guy named Apollos, who was learned in logic, and he, it's where we start. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road to the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Sorry, I got those backwards. He's not in Corinth. He's in Ephesus. He arrived at Ephesus, and there he found some disciples. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, we're not really sure exactly what they had believed. What we come to find out through this text is that they had heard from John the Baptist. And John the Baptist essentially preached, hey, you've got to repent of your sins, and you've got to look forward to the one that's coming after me. And it was kind of, that was it. So they said, no, we have not heard there is. We have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And so Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. And then Paul explains it. He says, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. We're not going to talk about that in particular this morning, but something that is a phenomenon that happens to people who receive the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to fixate upon this question that they ask of Paul. I guess it's not a question, it's really a statement in response to Paul's question. He says, have you received the Holy Spirit? It's obviously something that's really important to him. Have you received it since you believed? And what they say is, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And that statement just jumped out off the page at me because I was thinking to myself, there really are three kinds of people in this room. There are some who are very well acquainted with the Holy Spirit. They're experienced in the Holy Spirit. They know exactly what I'm talking about. This message is probably something that just a repeat for them. There are some who have heard of the Holy Spirit, but have never really experienced the Holy Spirit or don't really understand how to relate with the Holy Spirit. And this might be a message that would encourage you to begin that journey. And then there's a third group of people that could relate with these disciples. I have no idea what you're talking about. When you use this term Holy Spirit, I think you're crazy, right? And that's maybe where you're at. And hey, we all come at this from different perspectives. And so I want you to know, not everybody has this figured out. Some people are thinking probably the same things as you. Like when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it makes me kind of want to just leave church early. You know, it's just a weird topic. And certainly it can be that way. But hopefully, this morning, my whole goal is just to kind of give you an introduction to the Holy Spirit and maybe have you take it from here. Maybe have you learn, okay, well, maybe there are some ways that I can apply some of the things that we talked about this morning to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit if that's something that you are interested in doing. And hopefully today, you will get the sense that God wants you to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that's a takeaway from this passage is Paul was so adamant that these guys wouldn't be content with just believing in God, with just having had an experience in God or even having heard of Jesus. He wanted them to receive the Holy Spirit. And he wanted them to do that because he knew there was something to be experienced there that would take them to the next level. There was something to be experienced there. It was so profitable for them. He didn't want them to live a life of belief in God without an experience with the Holy Spirit. And so that's something that I want to just echo what Paul is saying and doing here to all of you, that I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. I want to inspire you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Here's where it begins. For guys like Paul and for the disciples of Jesus, they began to pursue the Holy Spirit because of the things that Jesus told them. This isn't something that developed hundreds of years later in Christianity. This is something that Jesus promised would happen, something that Jesus said he would make available to us. The Holy Spirit is given to us from Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 7. John is recalling the words that Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, and he says this, "It's actually best for you if I go away." This is before he dies, of course. He's explaining this to them. "Because if I don't, the counselor won't come. And if I do go away, he will come because I will send him to you." Jesus has sent us the Holy Spirit. Now, the word that we translate here, counselor, is the word that often is used in reference to the Holy Spirit in the Greek language, and that is the word paraclete. And I put this word on this slide to give you a better understanding of what it is. I think it's the next slide, Joe. Yeah. So this is the word paracletes. It's the word that is often referenced as the Holy Spirit. And counselor is a good interpretation of this word, but, you know, as often is the case, the Greek often implies other meanings as well. And so it can help us to kind of understand in English the different things that Jesus meant to convey. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's a counselor. He's a guide. He's an intercessor. And he's a helper. And when you look in your concordance, you look at this Greek word, all these words show up. And so, you know, in order for us to have an understanding of just all that the Holy Spirit is, it would help to explore these different attributes of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I want to do. I want to go through each of these, and I want to help you understand who the Holy Spirit is in reference to the meaning of this word that Jesus uses to describe him. The Holy Spirit is, and first and foremost, he is a comforter. Holy Spirit is a comforter. The first thing I was thinking of is just the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I was first starting my journey as a pastor, one of the things that I had to get used to, and one of the things I was really relying on Richard for, was guidance on what do I do when I show up to the hospital or when I show up to somebody's house and, you know, they've just had a family member die. You know, something tragic has just transpired, and I'm there as a pastor to offer my comfort. You know, what am I supposed to say? You know, what am I supposed to do in those moments? I felt like, you know, if I was a Catholic priest, there would be some sort of protocol handed down to me. But when you're a Protestant pastor, you just kind of fly by the seat of your pants. You got to figure it all out on the go, you know? And so I was relying on Richard. And you know, one of the things that Richard would always say, and I've been in all sorts of situations with him, walked into terrible situations with him, and people just overwhelmed with grief and tragic situations. And what he always told me, and this has always stayed with me, is it's never about the words that you speak. You know, your words, for the most part, don't mean nearly as much as your presence. Having your presence, just being there, just embracing people, just laying your hands on them and saying a prayer, just offering them yourself. It means more than any words, any actions, any gift to express sympathy. Your presence means more than anything. And I think in the same way, that's what it's like. The Holy Spirit is present in us, and just the knowledge of his presence brings peace. The knowledge of his presence brings comfort. I love what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The Apostle Paul, he says, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for." In other words, we don't have the words. "But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." Right? The Spirit is with us. He is present with us. His presence alone is enough to bring comfort and to bring peace. I love that Osborne read for us this morning Psalm 23, because that was the psalm that I thought of when I came to this particular point. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You are with me. Now, that is the great promise that comes to us from God, and he fulfills that promise through the presence of his Holy Spirit. If you are going through a dark night of the soul, if you are walking through a valley in your life right now, I want you to hear, and I want us to say this with faith, I want you to know the Spirit of God resides in you. He is with you. He is there to comfort you. Rely upon him. Get that sense, that feeling, that knowledge. Know that he is with you. It will bring peace to your soul more than any words can say. more than the presence of anyone else, if the presence of God is with you and he is with you through his Holy Spirit, you will be comforted. You will find peace. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Secondly, he is a counselor. He is a counselor. This is what Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit would do. I remember early on in my journey as a young man, I was praying over whether or not, I was in my early 20s, whether or not I was going to pursue being a pastor. My other option was maybe firefighting. I always wanted to be a firefighter because one day I walked into a firehouse and there were two guys playing basketball while they were on their shift. I was like, that is the job for me. But got out of the plans. While I was praying for my future, while I was praying that God would lead me and guide me, and I knew that there was things that God wanted me to do. And I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit, because as I pursued the Holy Spirit in those prayers, he counseled me. He helped bring healing to my heart and my life, and to disciple me and lead me to this place where I was prepared for this next step that I was going to take. He wouldn't allow me to take the next step. And all of you who are part of our church can be thankful that God wouldn't allow me to step into the role of being a pastor until he had counseled me and prepared me for this work that was about to come. And it's led, of course, to over a decade of being a pastor here at the church, and God has been faithful and good. And I think for the most part, he's done some pretty good work through me. So I'm grateful for that. But, you know, I remember this journey. I remember telling God, God, I want to take this step. I want to move in this direction. But I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. And I remember feeling a sense in this moment that God was telling me, I need you to confess this issue that is in your life. I need you to confess it. And I need you to forgive this person who has wronged you. And there were these two distinct things that I remember the Holy Spirit just assigning me to. And as we are wont to do, I think a lot of times, if it's just our conscience, if it's just a thought that pops up into your head, you can tend to kind of brush it away, push it in the back, not really think about it again. But when it's the Holy Spirit, there's something that happens. He keeps reminding you, right? The next week, you go to pray, and there it is, right in the forefront of your mind. You know, the next day, you get up in the morning, you think you're free of that thought, and there it is, right in your mind, right? And typically, it's something that you do not want to do. You do not want to pursue. It's not something you're interested in doing at all. I don't like confession, right? I don't like forgiving, right? It's not particularly enjoyable. But when it's the Holy Spirit, he will stay on you and on you and on you and pursue you and counsel you through that journey. And that certainly was the experience for me until I could do those things. And it took me about a month to work up the courage to take on these two things that God was asking me to do. And it was the Holy Spirit counseling me. It was the Holy Spirit helping me find healing. It was the Holy Spirit helping prepare my heart for the work that he was calling me to do in the future. I didn't know it needed to be done. I didn't know that it was a problem. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed it to me. He is a counselor. When you pursue the Holy Spirit, he will counsel you. That's some good examples of this. Back in Acts chapter 10, we studied the story of Peter when God was counseling him through the Holy Spirit and telling him, this message of the gospel, this message of Jesus is for far more people than just the Jewish nation. This is for the Gentiles. And Peter was prejudiced against the Gentiles. And yet he had this vision that God gave to him through the Holy Spirit. And he sensed as though God was saying, don't call things unclean that I have made clean. And through this journey, God showed him and led him to come to understand that God was opening the doors, sending out the invitations to all the Gentiles, to people outside of the Jewish race, to be a part of this movement of Jesus. And it was something that God had to continue to remind him of again and again and again throughout his journey. He lost sight of it. He lost sight of how important and how loved the Gentiles were. And the Holy Spirit had to remind him again through the Apostle Paul. And it was this constant journey for Peter to be counseled by the Holy Spirit and to be taught what to believe and what to think and what to do. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. If you invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you, he will counsel you through life. He will encourage you when you need courage. He will rebuke you when you need correcting. He will bring you peace in the midst of anxiety. He will constantly remind you of how loved you are in Christ, loved by God. The Holy Spirit will counsel you to help you understand who you are, your position in Christ. He is a counselor. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our guide. The Holy Spirit guides us. He leads us in the way that we are to go. I was so inspired as I was asking Dr. George some questions about how WorldComp got involved in medical camps. I was part of the medical camps. I went with my friend Scott last year to go be in Kenya for the medical camps. My first experience, I'd heard a lot about them, but had never seen these things in the flesh. And it is amazing. Thousands and thousands of people. Richard threw out a statistic, and I know the statistic is accurate because it's Dr. George and Osborne who are the ones accounting for it, and they are unbelievable administrators, unbelievable accountants. And every day we would have a count of the amount of people that were served through our medical camps, and Richard gave a number. He said over 90,000 people have been receiving a medical treatment through WorldComp medical camps. 90,000 people over the last several years. It's an unbelievable number. That all got started because George was guided by the Holy Spirit. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. And he told the story to me the other day. He said when he was a young man, he watched his mom die. He watched her suffer and die for a lack of medical treatment, something that could have been preventable. And it was that day that God called him, did something in his spirit, called him to pursue a career in medicine. He's a Dr. George because he has a pharmacy and he's a medical doctor over there running his own pharmacy. Of course, all the work that he does with WorldComp as well. But it was through that, and then because he had studied medicine, because he had made all these preparations, he was participating in some mini camps, some mini medical camps in Kenya, and had such a heart for the people that were coming to them to seek medical attention, people who were poor or could not afford the care that they needed. He had such a heart for that, he said, we can do this. We can do this. God has given us the ability. God has given us this incredible partnership with Richard and the WorldComp team. We can do this. And it was because of that journey that George was guided in that we can say we've seen 90,000 people. People's lives have been saved. I witnessed it personally. I watched it. I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen people get the medical treatment that they needed, and it saved their life because of the work that we are doing through WorldComp. It's so important to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You never know where that's going to lead to. I love this passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. One of my favorite verses is so right on. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. I have no doubt that day when George was facing his own tragedy, that the voice of the Holy Spirit, maybe it wasn't audible, but maybe it was that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, was whispering in his ears, this is the way, walk in it, pursue this, go down this road. I have something for you here. I am going to use you. We've read multiple times how God spoke to people in Acts in similar situations, guiding them. God guided the Apostle Paul. God guided Barnabas and those guys who started the early missionary journeys. He told them to go. You and I have received the gospel. We've heard the gospel because of their obedience. He guided them to go to this town instead of this town. He encouraged them. He walked with them. He led them on the journeys that they went through. We see God guiding people all throughout the Scriptures. And it still happens today. God guides us and leads us. Would you invite the Holy Spirit to be your guide? If you are in a season that is foggy for you, if you are in a season in which you don't know which way to go, would you invite the voice of the Holy Spirit and just pray a simple prayer? Just say, God, I'm in the dark. I don't know. I'm uncertain. Would you speak to me? Would you guide me? Would you lead me? When he does, you will know it is God's voice when you receive the confirmation. And almost always, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you walk in the direction that he leads, he will bring you confirmation. Just this last trip to Kenya, I'm telling a lot of stories about Kenya this morning. I'm inspired this week. But this last trip that we took to Kenya, Richard was dealing with some complications from a knee replacement surgery. And these medical camps were a really big deal. We had a dedication for Simeon in which Richard's presence was requested, and they were hoping he could be there. And Richard was not going to be able to go. Valerie was not going to be able to go. She was dealing with her own ailments. But I sensed through prayer one morning that God was asking me to go. And immediately when I heard that voice, you know, I'd mentioned this earlier, I said, I can't. You know, it's a busy season at the church. We're ending the summer, and Deb and the kids and I wanted to go on one more trip, one more road trip, and I wanted to do that, and I don't have the money, and I was throwing out all these excuses immediately, and then again, it just kind of came back again and again and again. No, you need to go. You need to go. You need to go. And so I briefly met with Richard, and as I was talking with Richard, Richard said, I really feel like God wants you to go. And that was a confirmation to me. It was a confirmation because I've been praying about it. God had told me, and Richard said, I really feel like you need to go. And so I made that decision. I said, okay, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm gonna go. I'm going to make the trip to Kenya, book it. I said, but I want somebody to go with me. And so I had a meeting with my friend Scott at a coffee shop, and I said, I feel like God is telling me that you need to come with me to Kenya. And Scott said, well, I can't go to Kenya. I'm going to China, you know, that week. And he had blocked off these very 2 weeks to go to China. And then the next week we came back and we were talking more about it. He said, okay, well, the trip to China got canceled. I have 2 weeks off in which I can go and do something like this. I just got my passport already. This must be a confirmation. So I'm going with you. And Scott went with me. And you asked George and you asked Osborne if Scott was meant to go on that trip. He was meant to go on that trip. It was unbelievable how God used him all throughout the course of our 2 weeks there. And just encouraged me, just to be with me. It was really a wonderful thing. But man, we felt the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then we received this incredible confirmation. And it's amazing how you learn to hear the voice of God through that dance. You know, I'm guided in this direction. I have to leap out in a journey of faith, a step of faith. And then when I do, there's this confirmation, this was the right way to go. And you learn how to trust. You learn how to remember how important it is to listen to and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's our guide. Fourthly, he's our intercessor. He's our intercessor. This essentially means someone who goes between, someone who goes before, someone who advocates for you. I don't know about you, but I love to have advocates. And when the Holy Spirit is advocating for me, I can't think of a more encouraging word to hear. I love this story of the Civil War. Following the Civil War, there's this dejected young Confederate soldier who was in Washington, D.C., outside the White House. And a young boy walked up to him to ask him why he was so disappointed. And he explained to him, he said, I'm here to try to convince the president that I've been unjustly deprived of my lands in the South. The war was over now, and he could not get back his land that had been taken from him. And so he went to go see the president about this problem, but every time he would go to see the president, the guards would stand and cross their bayonets and wouldn't allow him in. And so the young boy grabs him by the hand and pulls him up and walks up to these guards, and the guards immediately release their bayonets and let the young boy and the soldier all the way through. And the young boy takes him right into the library where President Lincoln was. And President Lincoln says, Tad, and it was his son, who's this, right? And the son introduces him, and he gets his opportunity to speak to the president. And of course, he has no access, he has no ability to get through all of the various roadblocks that were set up before him, but because he had the son of the president, there were no limitations. There were no barriers. He could go right in. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. He's this conduit to the Father. You and I have a relationship. We have an ability to talk with God. We have an ability to receive power from God, strength from God, because we have an intercessor who is for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says this well. He says, speaking of Jesus, he says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." We can't see God. We can't even know God apart from His Holy Spirit. And it's amazing to have people pray for us. But when the Holy Spirit, who knows the will of God, who knows what God desires to bring about, is praying for us in the direction of God's will, and that is a powerful prayer. And there's no doubt in my mind that so many things that have unfolded in my life have happened through the intercession of the Holy Spirit, who is praying for me, who knows the mind of God and wants to lead me and guide me and counsel me in that direction. The Holy Spirit is your intercessor. He is for you. He is your advocate. And then lastly, and perhaps most simply, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He goes before us. He makes a way. He strengthens us. He sustains us. He prepares us. Listen to this passage from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. "I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." There is a strength that comes from God. It's almost unexplainable. He brings it into your inner being, right? He fills you with His Holy Spirit. The Spirit is this conduit through which God gives you strength. God brings His power to bear in your life. I loved hearing Richard talk about the experience he has of leading WorldComp. And George and Osborne would come to him with this great idea. "We're going to build this orphanage. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be 60,000 square feet. It's going to house over 100 children. We're going to have sponsors back in the USA. We're going to have a van bringing them to and back and forth from school. We're going to have farms set up where these kids are going to work and they're learning how to work in the fields. They're going to learn how to care for animals. It's going to be incredible." And Richard, of course, is like, "Who's going to pay for all this? Who's going to raise all the money for this? Who's going to be responsible for this?" And they're like, "That's what you're good at, right? That's your gifting. We just come up with the ideas and the faith." And Richard, I know you get anxious about all of that. I know there's an incredible amount of anxiety. And last night as we had the banquet, we raised almost $90,000, by the way. And so maybe that'll give you a reprieve from some anxiety for a few days. But Richard said, you know, even once we get this gigantic building, you can see some pictures of it on our Kenya display out in the foyer. Even once we get this built, you know, we're going to have to find sponsors for 100 kids. You know, we're going to have to do a whole lot of stuff. This is a big thing. And he's repeatedly said, "I'm in over my head. You know, I'm up under it here. You know, I'm just treading water. You know, I can't sustain this in of my own strength and power." Richard, the Holy Spirit is your helper. And he's helped you every step of the way. He's been with you. He's walked with you. And it's so amazing to see God strengthen you and walk beside you and fill you with the power of His Spirit. And just being in that room last night with over 200 people who have contributed in some way because Richard has been a pastor in their life over the last 40 years cultivating this. We had some friends who have no experience with WorldComp, and they came to the gathering last night, and they asked us, "Well, how many years have you guys been doing this? This is incredible." And we said, "This is our first one." "Your first one?" You have over 200 people in the room. We're like, this is a 40-year investment, right? There's a lot that has gone into these relationships. But the Holy Spirit has helped. The Holy Spirit has strengthened. The Holy Spirit has walked with him throughout this entire journey. And he wants to walk with you. It's unbelievable how many things you are capable of when you partner with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you allow him to fill you with his strength. As Paul was explaining to these believers, I don't want you to live your life without the influence of the Holy Spirit. You need the influence of the Holy Spirit in order to do the things that God has called you to do. Again, I want to implore you, come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, I'll close with this. I can write this down. When somebody is drunk, when they've had too much alcohol, we say they are under the influence, right, of alcohol. And when somebody is under the influence of alcohol, something else is controlling them, right? Something else has this kind of power over them, depending on how much they've had. I don't know from personal experience, but so I've heard, right, you get under the influence of something, and you know it might make you dizzy. It might give you all sorts of different thoughts. You might talk differently. You might act differently when you are under the influence of alcohol. That's just that's something that happens. That's a phenomenon of alcohol. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. When you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will think differently. You will talk differently. You will be led by the Spirit. If you would invest in the Spirit, if you would keep in step with the Spirit. Now, let's be honest. Some people, they may not tell you this, but they drink alcohol. They come under the influence of alcohol because it gives them this sense of comfort, as fleeting as it is. Alcohol is like a comfort for them. Other people, perhaps younger people, would say, well, I drink alcohol because it emboldens me to do things that I would never do, right? It gives me confidence. You know, it's the young man in the bar who throws a few back, and all of a sudden he thinks to himself, I think that girl's looking at me. I think she wants me, right? And it emboldens him to go and ask her. It may not actually enable him to do that or to actually make the successful attempt, but it emboldens him to go and make the try, right? At least for a moment, he can be Mr. Confidence, even as delusional as he is under the influence of alcohol. The scriptures say, don't be drunk with wine. Come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And this is the metaphor that the Apostle Paul uses because he knows that the Spirit has its own influence. It influences us. It can control us in a positive way. Right, it can lead us. The Spirit of God can give us the ability to have a confidence that we may not have in and of our own strength or in and of our own power. Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul says. And I want to encourage you to live your life the way that Jesus has called you. You cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've never heard about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have little understanding of what it means to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And hopefully some of the things that we talked about today could give you an opportunity to take a step in that direction. Maybe you could start using that term, praying and saying, Holy Spirit, use his name. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Begin cultivating, beginning a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Here's what I believe, and I want to challenge you. If you would make this a daily habit, you know, even as you're on your way to work, you have some decision to make and you're unsure of what direction you should go. If you would make it a habit to say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, guide me, help me understand what I need to do. Give me the wisdom that I don't have right now. Here's what I promise you. It will be amazing how you will see the Holy Spirit show up again and again and again and again. And he will bring confirmation that you aren't just hearing some mamby-pamby voice in the sky, right? That you are hearing from the Spirit of God who is directing you and leading you, and he will bring confirmation in your life, and it will build your faith, and I promise you, it will spiral, it'll grow, it'll become something that is uncontainable, and God will release you in ways that you have never imagined, thought, or think. The Holy Spirit of God can empower us as believers. He wants to do that today for you. And so, I want to pray for you, and in particular, I just want to ask that you would open your hearts, open your minds up to this idea of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the work that you do. God, that work that you do through your Holy Spirit. And even now, I believe and have the faith to say that you are influencing our hearts and our minds. There are some people who are sitting here today and they have this sense that you are speaking to them. They have this sense that you are knocking on the door of their hearts and you're wanting them to open up. And God, I just pray that they would have the courage to open that door, to allow you to begin influencing them through the work of your Holy Spirit. God, that could be something that is scary. That could be something that we don't really fully comprehend or understand, opening those deep places of our lives to the Holy Spirit. And yet, God, it's something for those of us who have experienced, we would say, it is so rewarding. It is so unbelievable. And the Spirit of God is trustworthy. And the Spirit of God is of Jesus. And the Spirit of God is filled with wisdom and righteousness and goodness and power from God. And so, God, I pray that we would be inspired to say yes to your Holy Spirit, to open our lives up to your Holy Spirit and its influence, to allow you to work in our lives, in our hearts, in ways that we have never experienced before. God, let this be a new step in some of our journeys today. Let this be a new stage for us, a new exciting adventure for us as we say, Holy Spirit, come, and we invite you to have a relationship with us. We want to pursue you, even as you have been pursuing us since the day we were first called. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So good to be with you. We're going to close this morning, but before we do, I just want to invite our prayer partners to come forward, if you would.